Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me, and that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. I'm one of your hosts, Annette Grant.
And I am another host, Sarah Karakayan.
And together we are Thanks for Visiting.
We are beyond excited for today's episode because it's incredibly important.
Yes.
Not that all of our episodes aren't valuable. They are crazy valuable, but this takes it a step further in the importance of really serving all guests. Annette and I truly believe in being as open as you can be as a host, but a lot of those times you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
Do you want to start us, kick us off before we introduce our guest? Annette, kick us off with your story.
My story is I had to confess to this guest before she came on that I had an Airbnb that I hosted for over 2 years that I lived in and would open up to guests. And I had no idea that I could have been serving so many more guests until meeting our guest today. And I really missed out on an opportunity to, in my eyes, be a super host. And it was just because I wasn't aware. It was a lack of awareness. And so we're hoping that this episode today will make others aware. And the apartment that I was living in, I got a good deal on it because it was, I didn't get a good deal, but I was working with the building owner on some Airbnb properties. And I said, let me help you out and take off one of your hard to rent spaces. And that hard to rent space ended up being their one ADA compliant unit. So it was American Disabilities Act unit that they are required to put in, you know, apartment buildings. And it was difficult to rent because the layout is obviously a little different. And so I had no issues with that. And I jumped right on it, said, yep, you're helping me with my Airbnb properties. I'll help you by long-term renting this. And I also could short-term rental it. I did not anywhere in my listing let any person know that it was ADA compliant. And I'm upset with myself and kicking myself now after meeting today's guest. So Sarah, you want to intro her?
I am super excited today to have Leanne. Leanne, I actually met on Instagram, like so many of my relationships as of the past few years. And I fell in love with her feed for her design, which is what is funny because, not funny, but it's coincidental, but Leanne has a story that she's going to share with us, but she's had to make her home compliant for her husband. And she's done such a beautiful job making it functional and obviously eye-catching. So Leanne, welcome to our show.
Welcome, Leanne.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. We're so excited this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So let's just, let's go right into it. And can you share your story with our listeners?
Absolutely. So my name's Leanne. Last name is Lavender, which most people think I'm like making that up, but it is not. It is really my name. And I live in Indianapolis with my husband, Derek. So I actually am from Dayton, Ohio. So a fellow Buckeye. Well, I didn't go to Ohio State, but
you're still
a Buckeye. Yeah. So our story really started back in 2013. We got married. My husband's from a small town called Winona Lake, Indiana, up in northern Indiana. And we moved down here to Indianapolis so that he could finish up law school. So we moved down here to Indy. We jumped on the whole tiny house train, lived in a tiny house, did that whole thing. And in 2016, my husband was in a motorcycle accident on his way to work. It was 6 a.m. Early morning, and honestly, to this day, they don't actually know what happened. They just found him at the end of an exit ramp in the grass. And called the ambulance, obviously. And then I, rushed downtown to figure out what had happened. And that kind of started our journey into just this new lifestyle. So my husband broke his back at a T4. So if you're not familiar with spinal cord injuries, which most people aren't, we didn't know anyone who was paralyzed before this happened. But he broke his back at kind of like the armpit level. So he is paralyzed from the armpits down. Every spinal cord injury is different. Basically how it works is wherever you break your back at is essentially where you lose function at. So that is kind of important when we're talking about today and just, certain things you can do for an Airbnb to make it more accessible. But obviously there are all different levels of people who, all different levels. Yeah. So we spent a lot of time in rehab. That process is, pretty intense just to learn how to, get dressed and put your socks on and, just get situated in this new lifestyle. So we were in the hospital setting for 5 months. And when we moved back to Indianapolis, we did not have an accessible home because we were living in that tiny house. So Annette, we did end up in a ADA compliant apartment, which, no, not judging you at all. It was a very frustrating process to try to find something accessible for Derek because, you can rent those spaces out if you aren't in a wheelchair. And so the people who were actually living in that space moved just so we could have their apartment, which was obviously really great. And then we found a ranch a year and a half later and ended up renovating it to be accessible for Derek, fully wheelchair accessible. And so that's kind of our story. He's been injured for 3 years now and just starting to get into the swing of things.
So Leanne, you're just now getting back into the swing of things. When did you start contemplating travel and what travel accommodations looked like for you post-accident?
Yeah,
so way of life.
It actually was our therapist told us to try to travel, the whole like get back on the horse type thing. Like don't let too much time go by because you're going to, it's going to feel more intimidating. So we traveled 7 months after Derek's accident. We went out to visit some friends in Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Okay.
And flying, that's a whole process in itself, but we were able to stay in their home. And honestly, at this point, just didn't even know what questions to ask. Right. We kind of, I think what comes to everyone's head initially is just, do I have steps? No steps, then I must be, it must be accessible. And unfortunately, that's just, not the case. So that situation actually turned out fine. I'm very, very relieved, actually, that it turned out as great as it did without me asking. I didn't really ask any questions at the time. So we've since then tried to get back on, get back on the saddle and go to new places. And we've just kind of run into a snag with Airbnbs. And this is where I actually reached out to Sarah a few weeks ago because we are having some work done on our home and need a place to stay. And there's just nothing. I sorted out the filters on Airbnb that we needed and there were three. One was in Canada, one was in Texas, and one was in Mexico.
What?
And I was like, I really believe, like you had said, you just didn't know what you were looking for. So you didn't even think to put it. And there's a whole community of us out there who are just so frustrated that we have to stay in hotels every time we travel because they're expensive and you don't get to hang out with your family. And it's hard to travel with friends when you're asking them to also stay in this hotel with no family room or, that kind of thing. So I'm really excited that people care and people want to help. And hopefully we can shed some light on the disabled community and help you guys with that.
Right. So I know that you guys, why don't we talk about one of your travel episodes, though, as we start to educate people. I know you kind of had like a nightmarish travel experience when something was supposed to be ADA accessible and it was not. Do you want to expand on that for us?
Yeah. So we actually went to Palm Springs, California with my husband's family last January. And Airbnb. And once again, looking back, I didn't necessarily ask the right questions, but I believe the listing, you know, there's things that you can put on your listing that would help us communicate a little bit better. So we went to Palm Springs and it was ADA accessible. And we had told the guy, you know, that Derek was in a chair and he had said, oh yeah, the bathroom's a roll-in shower and here's, you know, here's these things. Well, turns out it wasn't. Not only was it not a roll-in shower, the glass actually wasn't wide enough for Derek to fit into the shower. So my sweet husband went without a shower for a week and he was obviously, I mean, we got to the point where we were just trying to find a hotel to stay at in Palm Springs so that he could shower. And yeah, so that, I mean, that was kind of like the worst case scenario, I think, for us. And I would say majority of the disabled community, the biggest things is the bedroom in the bathroom. I mean, that really is kind of the game changer. You know, you don't have to necessarily photograph every inch of your house and measure every single thing, but just one bedroom and one bathroom that would work is, you know, is basically pretty much like the bread and butter for what we need.
Okay. Well, I want to go back really fast to this guy who said he had a shower and it wasn't even close. Like, what happened?
Well, and I mean, once again, like I'll take some blame because I didn't ask for the entrance of how wide is that glass, because the picture, it's like it was an updated shower and it was all glass. So I couldn't tell, like I didn't see that there was like another glass panel. It looked like it was open, but it wasn't. And it also had a step down. So it also, it like the way it was tiled, it looked like it was all one level. But then when you got in on it, it was a step down. And then, you know, in Palm Springs, these homes are older. And so all the other bathrooms in the house, the doorways were too narrow for him to fit into the other bathrooms. So we just, you know, we just didn't really have a choice at that point. I'm not sure. I mean, we did email him and followed up and just said, hey, just so you know, that's not ADA, like, this isn't going to work. And I will say ADA, like, absolutely, if you can be ADA compliant, that's great. But a lot of these homes, they don't have to be like completely ADA. I'm not telling you to renovate your whole space. But, you know, if you have a tub, you know, just, you know, comment that, hey, you know, the toilet is away from the tub, so there's enough space there for like a shower bench. There's just simple things you can do without having to like renovate your entire home.
So should we go there then right now? Like, Leanne, let's say you have a home that someone is Airbnb-ing and they don't, you know, nothing in it is compliant yet.
Yes.
What are some simple things they can do and or say on their listing that might be helpful for travelers like you and Derek?
Yeah. So the first thing to check is just your doorway entrances. So the doorway, ADA doorways, 32 inches. If you don't have a home that has 32 inch doorways, just don't even try, because they're not going, you know, no one can fit through them. Well, not no one, but no one in a wheelchair.
Right.
Now Derek can fit through 29 inch to 30 inch doorways. He is in a manual chair, but like those power chairs are a little bit more bulky. So definitely just check your doorways first. If you feel good about those, that they're, you know, that they're wide enough. The next place to start, once again, is just that bedroom and bathroom. So I would pick the best bedroom and bathroom situation that you have, probably the largest space, with your, okay. So they're not going to renovate, right? We're just doing simple.
Right. For now.
Okay. Yeah. So if you're not going to renovate, I would just try to clear out as much things. You know, a lot of people have like big stands over the toilet or stuff that's just kind of in the way. The key to ADA, and I call it a design, is just minimalism. You know, the less stuff on the floor, the less clutter sitting around, is a lot easier for us to maneuver. And then with the bedroom, and this is, the bed is pretty simple. So most standard beds are 25 inches in height. So that's great. If you can just have a standard height bed, that's perfect. Sometimes these Airbnbs get, you know, a little fancy with the canopy beds or beds that are a lot higher up. And those are really tricky to transfer in and out of. And then if you're feeling crazy, so a Hoyer lift, which is what actually lifts like a quadriplegic up and into a bed, or, you know, if they don't have any hand function where they can move themselves, couples will travel with these Hoyer lifts that'll help kind of lift them in and out of spaces. Those require a 3-inch clearance. So under a couch, like if you have 3 inches under a couch, they can easily, you know, slide under a couch to move them in and out. And same with under a bed. So just have that like 3-inch clearance available.
Mind blown, Leanne. Like,
there you go. It really is not. I mean, it's not that crazy, but it is just a game changer. I mean, it kind of makes or breaks a vacation. So if you can't, one girl was saying that one of the Airbnbs they stayed in didn't have a 3-inch lift for their Hoyer lift. So the husband had to sleep on an air mattress all week because they couldn't get him into bed. Very simple design decisions you can make there that would make a big difference.
So I feel like, listeners, if like right now you're thinking about starting an Airbnb, maybe you take these things into consideration. You know, you're not renovating, but you can make decisions like sofas that are 3 inches off the ground or beds taller than 25 inches. I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. There are so many decisions or, you know, options out there for furniture and decor that you could still get that look you want and be able to welcome your space to people. So Leanne, I have to ask you then, so right now, I have two questions. One, since Airbnb is kind of right now like power of the people, right? Like we've made the choice of, okay, now we can open up our homes because of this technology platform. And a lot of us can now be a part of this home staying or this travel industry. Do families who have someone with disabilities, do they just look to hotels? Like why even look at Airbnb if there's no regulations around what it actually means to be ADA and none of us have to do any of these things? Like when you were looking for some place to stay at Airbnb, was it because of the price point? Was it because hotels aren't great? Do hotels stink at this too?
And I think that's why, and I'm sorry if I get choked up. I think that's why I get so discouraged is because we want to travel with our family. You know, we want to go with friends to Colorado, but no one wants to stay in an expensive hotel or even just a regular hotel when there's not these like common spaces that we can just hang out in.
Yeah.
So when we travel just the two of us, we do stay in a hotel because it is just easier. And honestly, if there's something wrong with the room, we can just move or ask them to accommodate. And we understand with Airbnb that's not on the host. We totally get that. Well, I mean, providing correct information is definitely
right.
But not like, hey, you know, we have this emergency. Can you come fix, you know, move us to a different room? So I think that's why a lot of couples will do either cruises or stay in hotels. And once again, that just gets, the hotel thing gets really expensive, but it also just not as fun. I mean, you know, that's why this Airbnb community is here, because you get to stay in all these unique places that you can check out that you just wouldn't get to go do. I mean, I was just up on a girls' weekend with some friends visiting, you know, Upper Peninsula in Michigan, and there were just no, you know, there was no way that Derek could have gone with me. Just absolutely no way. There just wasn't any place that we could stay up there aside from a hotel. So, yeah, that's why I'm so excited about this, because I think a lot of you out there are probably listening and like, oh my word, I definitely have a room that could be big enough or a bathroom that would work well enough for this and move accordingly. So,
yeah, one of the things that we talk about so many of our episodes is this is a side hustle or an extra way for people to earn income. And I think this is one of those opportunities where there's a couple of situations. Either A, you know, you moved into a home that was ADA compliant before you moved in. Maybe you don't, you know, maybe you want to make some renovations to it, but this could be a way to help others out that you weren't even realizing.
Yeah.
Let's say you had a home that you made ADA compliant for someone that was living there. They maybe moved out, you know, and you have this space now that you could actually share with other people. Or let's say you're a couple just like yourself, Leanne, and like, hey, why don't we share our home share our space with others that may have encountered the same obstacles as us. So like that, there's just, to me, it's even opening up, could potentially open our listeners' eyes to this whole other financial entrepreneurial opportunity to something they, you know, either they built out themselves or they, you know, bought into.
Well, even landlords, you have these places that apparently are hard to rent out, quote unquote, and so you're renting them to people who do not have disabilities. Why not instead short-term rent it? Be very clear about the ADA options within it. And then, like, because with Leanne, you searched in your area, you couldn't find anything except for Texas and Canada and wherever else. It's just crazy town when there's all these apartments out there that apparently, quote unquote, cannot get rented, which is just...
And I'm sure, Leanne, maybe in your own family or, you know, in your network of people, there might be people that have someone that their home, they've made ADA compliant just for the times that they come to visit or hang out. And they have all this other time that they could be hosting other people in their home and sharing that accessibility with them. So I think maybe through this episode, we could hopefully, you know, spark maybe this network, this underground network of such where people, they know like their own people live in their space and how they can maneuver and start sharing their space. You know, it doesn't have to be full time. And that's what's so great about Airbnb. Sarah and I talk about this all the time. You get to choose who your guests are, you know, and maybe it's something where within your network, Leanne, we say, hey, why don't you list your space on Airbnb? So when people do, travelers do come to town, you can host them, you know?
Right.
There could definitely be something there where there's, you know, multiple value exchanged there. So
Leanne, I think I mentioned this to you, but here's where I want to take the conversation next. I have an Airbnb that's right now 100% gutted. Like, she doesn't have any walls inside. She just has joists and some 2x4s, and I'm ready to like reconstruct her. And we're really close to the Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And you know, I understand that the children who are going through care are probably staying at the hospital, but, you know, before they go to the hospital or perhaps after they're done with treatment, like they can hang out in town for a while. I'm just thinking about when
this
house, ADA. So my first question to you, I know you said the doorway has to be 32 inches. Mm-hmm. What about leading up to the doorway? Like if there are stairs, does one have to do a ramp or what are some other ways that, because if I don't have a clearance for a ramp, what are some other ideas I can think about?
Yeah, so this is just honestly a super simple solution. Walmart actually sells these things called telescope ramps. And they are maybe $100, I think. And they fold up and just pop out. And we can clear about 5 steps with a set of telescope ramps. I carry them with me. They're awesome. So that was one thing I was going to say is like, man, if you have a couple steps, even 3 or 4 steps, you are not, you're not toast. Just grab a set of portable ramps. Once again, Walmart sells them. I'm sure you can find them on Amazon. Telescope ramps.
Yeah. We'll make sure Leanne to, link those in the show notes. We'll make sure we have the right one that you endorse, that you use.
That would be great. Cause I know, I mean, you know, we actually don't even have a ramp here at our house. They're expensive. They're expensive to build. And honestly, they're not super aesthetically pleasing. So if you even just can say in your listing, like we do have ramps available if needed, and then you can just store them in a closet. They actually fit right in the back of our trunk. They're real small.
Well, and I could even have them, like you said, like in the Airbnb.
Yep.
So
you
don't have to travel if you're like flying in. We got you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we've got to go up the stairs. We have
the
3-2-inch open door. Now this home is 2 stories.
Okay.
To be compliant, do I need to have a way for the guests to get upstairs? Or if the first floor is compliant, then that's great.
Yeah, I would say for an Airbnb that as long as there's a bedroom and a bathroom downstairs that the guests can use, that's totally fine.
Okay.
At least I'm speaking for me and then all of the couples out there who are like, we just want to be able to stay in one bedroom or bathroom. So just as long as that bedroom downstairs would work.
And then, all the hallways and passageways should be 3-2 inches.
Yeah. If possible, obviously downstairs or anywhere that you think, once again, the place we stay in Palm Springs, like Derek couldn't get into the hallway downstairs or any of those bedrooms, but it didn't matter. Like we just needed to be able to access the main living space and the other bedroom.
Sure.
So when you walk in, I think I would say, obviously, open spaces, not super fluffy carpet. We can do carpet. I use carpet tape that just pins it down so it doesn't get snagged on wheels. When we've, you know, stayed places before, you know, we can always roll up a carpet or things like that is not a big deal.
God, it's like throw rugs and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's really easy to move. In the kitchen, if you're, I'm for some reason imagining your house being like family room, kitchen, bedroom. So I'm rolling down. So yeah, your family room has at least a couple seating options, you know, pretty open. Once again, not a huge deal because we can move furniture around. In the kitchen, I would say if you know, this guest is definitely going to reach out and say, hey, we have someone in a wheelchair. They would know to do that. I would go ahead and just put your plates and cups down on the lower level if possible. Just make that easy on them. And you can even leave a note like, hey, you know, I've moved the kitchen utensils, everything just within reach. You know, we've gone places that are so high that Derek can't really even reach, you know, to get a plate down. So we have like a little setup for him. And no one wants to feel like a kid, like, hey, here's your plate and cup for the week.
Yeah.
So if you can just move things to a lower drawer or kind of rearrange real easily, that would be awesome.
What about countertop height? So like,
yeah,
like these cabinets, right, are certain heights and islands.
Yeah.
Like, so how does that work?
I mean, I think, you know, I think apartments are under a totally different regulation because they, you know, they say we are ADA compliant. With this Airbnb, I think you need to say, you know, we would love, welcome handicap, you know, handicap accessible is maybe a better way to say it, or wheelchair accessible.
Okay.
Counter height, I would just do normal. Just don't do anything super tall. I mean, our counters are actually, our home was built in the 50s and we didn't move the counters at all.
Yeah.
And then the table. So that's another one. Once again, easy fix because we've actually just put books under tables before. But if you can keep those usually around like 30 inches is great. So, you know, you think when you're in a wheelchair, your knees just sit up higher because you're on wheels. So we do have a lot, you know, our table is actually custom built because we just have a hard time fitting under tables that work well. Now, if you have an Airbnb that just has like a cocktail size table, I would suggest trying to get something lower because that's hard. Like Derek can't. We actually went to a restaurant and they put us at a cocktail table and Derek had to eat from his lap because he couldn't even like reach how high everything, you know, it was the only table available at the time or whatever. But yeah, lower, just a table that either, or, sorry, I'm all over the place on this table.
No, but it's so good.
Easy design hack is actually to get casters. So we had a wood, like West Elm table, and I got those like casters, honestly, off of Amazon and just popped the table up on those wheels. One, now the table moves around super easily. So we used it outside, moved it inside. I could roll it around and it just sits up a little higher for those guests who are in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
I want to circle back to something you said in the recommendations. So it sounds like instead of using, just to make sure we're kind of covering ourselves here, instead of using the term ADA compliant, we should, if you're not truly ADA compliant, using words like wheelchair accessible or handicap accessible, that would still convey the correct message. Is that probably a safer zone for hosts to
I would
to use that and they're listening.
Okay. But I mean the hard thing is with the listings on Airbnb, it definitely has like a button for ADA. Like when I'm filtering out, it says like ADA. I would love to talk to someone over in Airbnb and get those filters like managed a little differently because I do think people get scared to say, well, I'm not ADA. You know, my house isn't built for ADA, but
right.
We don't need ADA. We just need, you know, those certain spaces. So wheelchair accessible, handicap accessible. I think the other thing people think is like, well, now I have to put grab bars everywhere. And like, no, you don't. We actually don't have grab bars anywhere in our home, in our bathroom. Once again, that's an ADA compliant thing. They're nice. Like if you want to add them, C-Chrome actually has really cool designed grab bars that are like stylish and not super dorky looking, but it's not necessary. You definitely don't have to add them in to a bathroom.
I mean, I feel like that, I'm so glad you brought that up because I feel like that's the first thing people think about.
Yep.
They think of, you know, handicap accessible. They think of the brushed nickel.
Yep.
That's exactly why the apartment that I lived in for 2 years couldn't mm-hmm. get rented out. There mm-hmm. were grab bars everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that was, I know that was one of the deterrents when people would walk in. It was this beautiful space, but not that it didn't make it beautiful, but it was like,
they
were everywhere. And they're just like, mm-hmm. they're paying a premium to mm-hmm. have things aesthetically that, you know, they weren't going to use. And they just were like, why, you know, right. can we have these removed? But I know that's the one thing. I think for myself, that's one of the reasons I didn't list it as ADA. Mm-hmm. I had some of the grab bars just taken down while I lived there because I didn't need them. So I think that's why I didn't even think about it, because I thought they needed to be still installed. So now that I know, because like my shower did, it had a ramp and it was open, like the door, all the whole glass opened up mm-hmm. and it was one floor and, you know, there weren't any stairs or anything, but the grab bars I think are... That's what I think the first thing that anybody thinks of for the compliancy is the grab. So that's good to know that that's not a make or break. And I think the ramp, you just like,
blew my mind
with that because I see when I like drive through neighborhoods every now and then, they mm-hmm. have these like labyrinth type ramps leading up to their house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that had to be so expensive to like
put
into the front. Right. I just didn't even know that that was an option. That was very eye-opening for hopefully not just for Sarah and I, but all of our listeners.
Now, so I call her Elsa, Leanne.
Okay, good to know.
My house is lady. So listeners, if you want to follow along in Elsa's cottage, this is the happy Instagram. But I was talking to Nick about that. He's like, the only thing I don't know if we can afford is to put mm-hmm. out front. And I feel like all we need to do, Nick, is make sure the doorways and hallways are 2 inches wide. We can 100% do that.
Yes.
It is so easy for us to do. And I would just be the proudest mm-hmm. lady in the block.
We're going to come stay at Elsa's. You better believe it.
So what other amenities can I offer then, Leanne, or can a host offer if they're kind of handicap accessible and the guest says, yes, I think we'll make that work. What are some things we can have besides moving the plates and towels and all those things? Mm-hmm. What are some other things we can offer you?
So on the back to the bathroom situation, and I will say, like, that's probably one thing that a lot of at least paralysis and quadriplegics don't talk about is, like, I mean, just so much goes into just sleeping and using the bathroom. That's like the biggest frustrations, basically. So with that comes just clearance over the toilet, so lots of space there, and then your shower. So obviously we know not everyone has a roll-in shower. If Elsa could have a roll-in shower, that would be incredible.
She might be able
to. Like minimal glass. I mean, I think a lot of people think, oh, I must have like a glass door. We actually don't have a door in our shower, and we just like, it rolls right in, rolls out. I never actually get cold. But, I'm going to mess this up because I don't remember the name of it. But the like handheld thing on a shower that like pulls down and you can like wash yourself off with it.
Oh yeah, like
what's that called?
Like the shower head, and then
the extension.
The extension. So those are super nice to have. I would have that on just one bathroom. So we actually have a rain shower head, but then we have a little extension handle on the side that's hooked up to it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're thinking, if you're sitting in a wheelchair, you can't really wash all the parts of you if it's just dropping on your head, basically.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So that's a really easy fix. Just extra trash cans are really great just to dispose of medical supplies discreetly. And there's one other I thought of that was like, oh, that's back to the grab bars. They actually make ones that you can buy if if you think someone might want them, that are just super suctiony. They're obviously not as safe as like having them installed on the wall, but you can buy ones that would suction to that wall just for, you know, a time being. But I would say a lot of people would travel with those too if they feel like it's necessary. I mean, that's the thing. Us, you know, we come prepped and ready like for these things. We bring the portable shower chair. We bring, you know, we've been known to actually buy one of those shower handle things to hook it up to someone's shower so that we can, you know, rush it on Amazon or whatever. But those are just a couple simple things that, would definitely be super nice.
Well, and so, Liam, before I hopped on the interview today, I just went on real quick on Airbnb because I noticed recently, and I'm on Airbnb every day, that now when you have a listing, you can mark things, they call it ADA accessible.
Yes.
And so listeners, you might realize this too eventually, but they'll roll things out to some users and not to others. And it's not, I don't think it's anything strategic. I just think it's just the way it goes when you're designing and changing up websites. But anyway, I now see that on mine. And so I clicked on the link to learn more. And while I think there is room for improvement on this communication, the one thing I really liked it that Airbnb said is that as hosts, we have a responsibility to do what we can to make our guests feel comfortable, right? No matter who they are and what their needs are. And so if a guest reaches out to you and says, hey, can you put the dishes and plates below into the base cabinets, that's our job as hosts to do that. And that is why, you know, Annette and I feel strongly about the position we're taking on Airbnb and short-term rentals. This is not massive passive income. This is not put as many heads in beds. This is about accommodating the world and welcoming them into your home. And if someone asks you to do this, this is your pleasure to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and be mom real quick. Like, you know, like, and so they have a really nice conversation between a guest and a host on their website that just says, like, you know, the guest asking for certain things to be ready when they arrive. And that's the thing, Leanne, is that, you know, that's what I hope we're doing here in this episode, is just like opening up our eyes and ears to these things that, like, you know, we just don't face these.
And we'll make sure to also link in the show notes this article on Airbnb. It's How Can I Make My Space More Accessible for Guests with Disabilities? So you can kind of see the conversation and what the specifics are that Airbnb is listing on their site.
Okay, Leanne, anything else we haven't yet covered? I know that you kind of like, you went to your group and you were like, what else can we say here? Because I want this to be like your big megaphone. So
yeah,
we haven't covered yet.
The one thing I also was going to add that's easy changes, at least for Elsa, would be to do actually, instead of doing knobs, do handles. So for a higher level paraplegic, they can't turn, like they don't have as much dexterity in their hands, so they can't turn knobs very well, but handles are real easy for them. And even same for Derek, and we have handles everywhere in our house. So that's, once again, a pretty simple thing, especially if you're already redoing it just to have handles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess just my one little last megaphone is, I wish this went without saying, but you know, here we actually had a really trendy restaurant that went up a couple years ago, and the owner had said to someone that, well, you know, why do we need a ramp, or why do we need to make this accessible? This, you know, we're not really trying to, handicap people don't eat our type of restaurant. And I just want to say, like, you know, we're 32 years old. I would consider us pretty cool. Like, we want to travel. We want to spend time with our family. We're, you know, we are people just like you guys are people. And any effort you make into making your home easier for us is just, we just really, really appreciate it. We really appreciate people trying, because that, you know, once again, you don't know. That's exactly, you don't know what you don't know. And we understand that. But if we can just make some simple changes, I'm telling you, I have a whole community of families who would just love to stay in Elsa or any house that you think would work. And that was actually going to be my offer as well. Sorry to ramble, would be, and I can, you know, in the show notes, I would love, if you can find me on Instagram, send me your listing. If you think, you know what, I think this could work, but I'm not sure, send it to me. Because one, I would love to tell everyone about it, because we, you know, once again, there's a community out there. But if there's edits you can make or things that you can change that are super easy, I would just love to help. I would love to help. So please, please feel free to send me anything.
Oh, that's great. So, and why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you on Instagram?
Yep. So on Instagram, we are at Lavenders. So like the color, it ends in ER. Lavenders Long Shot. And then you can email me too at lavenderslongshot@gmail.com.
And obviously you guys can reach out to us also, and we'll make sure that we can, you know, forward messages on to Leanne. And we will also, you know, love to help and give our insight also. But we are so thankful that you are on the show today. And hopefully we'll have a follow-up episode and we can increase awareness and listings in the short-term rental market.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, listener, I should say this more often, but here's your little call to action. Can you go ahead, and if you know other hosts in your area, maybe you're part of a Facebook host group or there's a host meetup in your area, maybe you share the link to this episode to that group and just tell them you need to listen to this episode. And if there's anything you can do to state on your listing ways that you can help people, that would mean so much to Leanne and her family and to Annette and me and our mission, what we're trying to do. And then I just feel like you're going to get these people like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think of that. Oh my gosh,
right.
I have an apartment with 32-inch wide hallways and I just changed my knobs into handles.
Right.
How cool would that be?
And if you know someone that already has a compliant household that would be an awesome host, send them this podcast and say, hey, do you want to, you know, share your space with some people and make some extra money too?
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. We need, obviously, we need more handicap compliant Airbnbs out there. So let's all like band together and like, you know, get those spaces listed.
Woohoo.
All right. Thank you, Leanne. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Annette.
And we are
Thanks for Visiting.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us. It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.